Man, what a week at VBS this week. Listen, if somebody around you falls asleep in here this morning, I promise it has nothing to do with the message. It has everything to do with them being at VBS this week and working and serving and giving it up. Man, we were wore out at the end of the week, but it was fantastic. God moved in an incredible way. Saw 42 kids at our campus and about 100 across all three Champion Forest campuses trusting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we're so thankful that you guys made it happen in all the different ways that you served and gave to make it a reality here. Thanks for trusting us with your kiddos at VBS. James just mentioned that this week is going to be an incredible week as well. We've got a bunch of our high school. If you're looking around wondering where the high schoolers are, they left this morning. A lot of them did for camp. They pulled out of the parking lot at 9. You might have seen the bus going out. As you were coming in, we're praying that God would do an incredible week this week at high school camp as well. So a lot of incredible things are happening. God is moving. God's working. He's stirring in hearts and lives. And the prayer is that he would stir in our hearts and lives this morning as we open up God's word together. So dads, happy Father's Day to you guys. We're thankful for you, for your godly leadership, for your godly example, for your godly influence. Our prayer for you is that you would continue to lead your families closer and closer to Jesus each and every day, that you would show them what it looks like to follow Jesus. And one of the ways to do that is consistent prayer with your kids or for your kids. Doesn't matter how old they are, consistent prayer matters. Well, we're not perfect. We try to make that a habit in our house where we pray over our kids on a regular basis. And a few weeks ago, Chelsea is putting the boys to bed and we're there and she decides to pray over them. And this is a regular thing in our house. And as she's praying over our kids, she just felt led by God to pray specifically for boldness over one of our boys. And so she's praying for boldness, that as a boy that he would be bold, as a teenager he would grow up and be bold, as a man that he would grow up and that he would take bold stands for the gospel wherever God place him, right? She just felt led and prompted by God to pray that. And so she says amen, wraps up the prayer, and he looks up at her almost horrified and said, "Why in the world would you pray that about me?" We were confused. We were like, "It's a good thing, bud. What is going on here?" He's like, "Why would you pray that about me? Why would you pray that?" And we realized, okay, there's some kind of miscommunication that has happened here. And he said, "Why would you pray that I would grow up and be like Uncle Stephen," one of our friends that he calls Uncle, who happens to be bald. He says, "I don't want to be bald when I grow up. I want to have hair like Dad has hair." And we explained genetics and said, "You're probably okay, bud. Don't worry about any of those kind of things." And we said, "Boldness, buddy, boldness. We're praying for boldness in you." And we had a chance to have this conversation. This is what it means to be bold. This is what God's word has called you to as a follower of Jesus, to live this bold, unashamed life in whatever arena God might place you in, right? That's what God's word calls us to, right? To be strong and firm and courageous, not weak, not passive, but bold for the sake of the gospel. If you've got a Bible, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we've got an incredible look at the boldness that God calls us to as believers. And as you're opening, remember that 1 Corinthians is a letter. It was written by Paul to the church in Corinth. So all of the believers in Corinth would have been the original recipients of this letter. We're looking in chapter 16, just two verses, verses 13 and 14. And just know that these two verses are right in the middle of the closing comments of the letter. So they've been instructed a lot already. They have been given practical, godly wisdom for how to live their lives day in and day out in the city of Corinth and the era that they lived in. And this is incredibly relatable to us, as this letter is filled with practical wisdom for how you and I should be living our lives to honor Christ day in and day out as well. Look at verses 13 and 14 with me. God's word says this: "Be watchful, stand firm, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." This was the prayer that we prayed over our son that night, straight out of the Bible, praying for strength and courage. And as we read this verse, we know that strength and courage, it's not just a thought, it's not just a good idea. Strength and courage is a command for all believers. In fact, we see four commands right here in these two verses, and I want to break them down this morning. If you're taking notes, the first command is very simple. It's pay attention. Right, the verse starts by saying, "Be watchful." We're going to interpret that as to mean pay attention. If you look at the beginning of the verse, it says that we are told to be watchful, to pay attention. To what? We're called to pay attention to the things that are happening around us, to the scenarios and situations that we find ourselves in. Years ago, I was on a mission trip in England, and we're walking through the city of London, and we get to this curb. We're going to cross the street. You do a lot of walking over there. We're going to cross the street, and one of the guys in our group, he walks up to the edge of the street, and he does what I'm sure his parents have told him to do over the course of his entire life. He gets to the street and he looks for cars before he steps out into the street. He looks to his left. He doesn't see any cars coming. He thinks he's good to go and he starts to step out into the street. Thankfully, I was behind him and grabbed onto his shirt and pulled him back. He had forgotten, right? He was not paying attention. He did not remember that they drive on the wrong side of the road in England. He didn't look to his right. That's where the car would have been coming from. And he was about to step right in front of one of those massive double-decker tour buses. He was not paying attention, and it almost cost him a whole lot. Not paying attention is a dangerous, dangerous thing. All right, we all have a story where we weren't paying attention and it caught up with us. Where we weren't paying attention and we got hurt. We weren't paying attention and we got embarrassed. We weren't paying attention and we did something that we knew better than to do. Believers are told here, you absolutely must pay attention. But listen to this. This letter is not concerned about physical danger, right? We're not being warned about the street. We're not being warned about physical danger here. We're paying attention to spiritual danger. Be watchful for spiritual danger that you may find around you. And this is not an isolated command in the New Testament. We're told that we need to walk through life not oblivious, but being watchful and paying attention to the spiritual elements that are happening all around us. 1 Peter 5:8 gives a warning to Christians. It says, be sober-minded and watchful. In other words, pay attention. Why? The verse goes on to say, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting for someone to devour. Philippians chapter 3 tells believers, watch out for the dogs that would seek to do harm to the church, harm to believers, spiritual harm to believers. Acts chapter 20 says, watch out for the wolves that want to come in among you and disrupt your hearts and minds, taking your focus off of Christ, off of the church, and off of his gospel. Pay attention to what is going on so that spiritually you don't get hurt. So that spiritually your heart and your mind is not pulled away from the truth of the gospel. Again, this is a letter to a church family. This is a letter to believers. This is a letter to people that are gathered together on a regular basis, seeking, hoping, praying to keep their mind on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is simply telling them what God has told him to write, right? And at the closing comments, this pay attention thing, hopefully is causing them to think back over the course of the entire letter. Because remember, he's already told them a lot by the time we get to chapter 16. He's told them the things that they need to pay attention to without reading the whole letter to you. Just think about it. In chapters 1 through 4, he says, pay attention. Guard yourselves against the temptation to judge the people that God's put in your life. Pay attention there. He says, pay attention. Guard yourself over the temptation to treat people differently based on their social status, based on their level of wealth, based on what they have to offer you. He says, pay attention. And make sure you treat people the way that God has called you to treat people. Make sure that you love your neighbor as yourself. In chapter 5, he says, pay attention. He says, guard yourself against bad company corrupting your good character. He says, pay attention. Guard yourselves against bad theology, against bad teaching, against untruths or lies of the world corrupting your heart. Listen, what a warning for us today, right? That the people that we're around, they influence us. The messages that we allow into our hearts and our minds through our eyes and through our ears, the media we consume, and that influences us. Paul's saying, pay attention. Be watchful. We want people around us that will influence us to love Jesus more. We want people around us that will influence us to love the Word of God more. We want messages filtering into our lives through our minds and our hearts that will cause us to love Jesus more. The people around us, the media we consume, it influences the way that we think. It influences the way that we see the world, and it influences the way that we think about God. We want messages. We want people that are committed to the truth. Well, we don't want to be influenced by people whose minds change as the culture changes. The warning for us spiritually here is pay attention. Pay attention to who's in your life. Pay attention to who is influencing you. Pay attention to the messages that are sinking in. He goes on, chapters 5-7. He's saying, pay attention to the sexual temptation that's around you. Right? Paul talks in his letter about God's design for intimacy, about God's design for marriage, about God's design for relationships. And listen, the culture in Corinth, in the first city, had basically rejected God's plan and design for marriage and for intimacy. And I'd say that our culture has too, in this area as well. We're told to pay attention, to be watchful, to avoid the spiritual danger that comes with sin. He goes on, chapter 6-14, almost every chapter, it's pay attention. He says we're to pay attention, be warned about greed, about idolatry, about selfishness. Every one of these temptations, it's still relevant today, right? It's easy for greed to take over. It's easy for money to become an idol, the end-all, be-all in our lives. It's easy for selfishness to slip in and become our pattern. And for most of these things, it's possible that it could just be a slow fade in someone's life to find themselves in this pattern. That's why God's word tells us to pay attention spiritually to what is going on around us. Listen, like my buddy in England, if you step out into the world every day, unaware of the spiritual elements, unaware of the spiritual things that are at play and going on around you, that double-decker bus, man, it is going to come for you. Listen to God's word this morning and pay attention spiritually to what's going on around you. And as you do, you can follow command number two. Look back at verse 13. Command number two is stand firm in the faith. If you're taking notes, don't just write down stand firm. Finish the phrase, stand firm in the faith. It matters what we stand on, right? I want you to think about it for a minute. If someone was to look you in the eyes, maybe even grab you by the shoulder in that serious moment, pull you in and say, hey, listen, no matter what happens, no matter what's said, no matter what comes your way, I want you to stand firm. What are they telling you to do? All right, think about that moment that they're telling you, do not back down. They're telling you, do not cave, do not run. As I read it this week, I thought about that movie, remember the Titans, right? In that championship game when all the penalties are called on them and the coach calls them over and he says, don't give up another yard, right? That this stubborn determination to make sure that nothing can push you away from where you're supposed to be. You're being told here in this verse, listen, you're on the side of truth. You're in the right place. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you experience, keep going. Do not back down. This morning, God's word is saying, have some resolve. Think about that. In your mind and in your heart, have you ever resolved that you were going to do something? I bet you have. Think about New Year's, right? What do on New Year's? We make resolutions, things that we are committed to do. And if you're like most people, statistically, man, you hang in there with those New Year's resolutions for a good week or two or a month, right? 6 weeks for the strongest among us. Listen, as we read this, that's not the kind of resolve that God is calling us to here. He's saying stand firm in the faith. Stand firm not in yourself, not in your truth, but in the truth of the Word of God. This week I read about this verse and it says that it's calling us to have a holy determination, a holy stubborn determination. I love that, right? It's so true. We know the Word of God is true. We know that the Word of God is right. No matter what, we are not caving. You remember the Alamo? I hope you do. You were in Texas, right? If you don't, go find a seventh grader. They studied that in history this year. Ask them a little bit about the Alamo. But think about those guys. Right? Think about what happened in that Alamo. The commander of the Alamo, the Texas Army that was there, William Barrett Travis. He was 26 years old at the time. You realize that? William Barrett Travis was 26 years old as he led those men at the Alamo. And the story goes that before those final battles took place, he got his sword out. He drew a line in the sand and he says, come on over on this side of the line. If you are willing to stand firm here with me. And all but one did. They decided right then and there that they were going to stand firm against an army of thousands that had surrounded them. They were willing to stand firm. They knew what was right. They knew what was expected. They knew what they needed to do. And they were committed to standing firm. And I want you to think about this. They decided in their hearts and in their minds to stand firm before the battle came. Before the battle came, so that when it happened, they were ready. As a believer, I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning to commit now to standing firm in the faith. Right? Don't wait to make this decision about whether or not you're going to stand firm till temptation comes. Right? Don't wait for the moment where you very publicly get put on the spot. Think about now what you're going to say. Think about now how you're going to live. Think about now how you're going to act. When you get asked in public by a coworker, a boss, a friend, or a neighbor, hey, what do you believe about Jesus? Right? Do you really believe all of these things? Do you really believe that the Bible is true? Decide now that you're standing firm in the faith. When the conversations come up at work or in the culture and they ask you, hey, what do you think about the sanctity of life? Hey, what do you think about marriage and God's plan and design? Decide now where you're going to stand. Decide now to stand firm in the faith. Listen, these can be volatile subjects in our world. We know what the Word of God says. Decide to stand firm now. And what are you going to do when you're tempted on your computer? Decide to stand firm now. What are you going to do at work when you're tempted to cheat and cut corners and do things nobody would ever know? You're going to be the hero if you can just get it done. What are you going to do when you're tempted like that? Decide now how you're going to live. Decide now what kind of person of faith you're going to be. Decide now that you're going to live in a way that honors God in all that you do. You see where this is going? Decide now. You had this conversation with your kids before, right? If you've got kids, think about that. You tell them all the time, listen, decide now what kind of choices you're going to make. Decide now before you get older. Decide now before you're in that peer group. Decide now before you're at that party. Decide now before the peer pressure comes that this is how you're going to live. This is what you believe. This is what you are grounded in. This is what God has called you to do. That's what God's Word is telling us here, to decide now that no matter what, we are standing firm in the faith. No matter what our culture tries to tell me, no matter what our government says, I am standing firm in my faith and firm on the truth. And here's the thing. You probably know this, but the truth is the only place where you can stand firm. Jesus says, the wise man builds his house on the rock, right? That standing firm on the truth, the foolish man on the sand. What happens when you try to make it last on sand? It's always changing. It's always moving. It's always sliding around. There's a reason Jesus gave that illustration. You've been to the beach before, right? You get down to the edge of the water and you just sort of stand at the edge of the water where the waves are sort of coming over your feet. I love to stand there and just sort of see what happens, how long I can do it. We have contests with the kids. We stand there. And as the waves come up, what happens? The waves come over the top of your feet. They put a little sand on it. And as the waves go out, it pulls the sand out from under your feet. So the longer you stand there, the more you sink down in the sand. And at some point, it shifts so much under your feet, you fall down. You cannot stand up. God's Word says, stand firm in the faith. And if you're unsure about what that looks like, don't overthink it, right? It's incredibly simple to get. God's Word tells us to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you want to stand firm in the faith, love God with everything you've got. God's Word then tells us, Lewis mentioned it earlier, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus said, if we can get those two things right, everything else will flow from that. You want to stand firm, love God, love people, and seek to live this out every single day of your life. That's it, right? Decide now to stand firm. Look back at verse 13. Be watchful, so pay attention to the spiritual elements of this world. Stand firm, and then he says this, act like men and be strong. Our third command this morning is be strong. If you're thinking, it says act like a man, and I'm not a man, it's Father's Day, this is for the guys, let me just tell you that that's not completely true. Men, this does apply to you. Be strong in your faith, but ladies, this is not just for the men. You're not off the hook. What's happening here is Paul's tone. If you can sort of read this, his tone is an intense tone. This is sort of like a pump-up locker room kind of talk in our culture. And their culture back then, he's talking to this group of believers the way that a general would have been talking to their soldiers. He's saying, be watchful, stand firm. And now he's saying, be strong. And the command here, when we read strong, is not a command to never be afraid. Right, to be strong, we need to read, be courageous. It's to do what you know is right, even in difficult times. It's to do what you know is right, even if there's an element of fear that's there in your heart. It's doing what you know God has called you to do, no matter what the danger is. Earlier this month, right at the beginning of June, it's the anniversary of D-Day, right? That pivotal moment in World War II. And for me, and I love reading it, I love studying. I had the boys and we were reading some stuff together. I'm always blown away reading those stories. So many soldiers, so many young soldiers storming those beaches, willing to stare evil in the face, willing to embrace death and danger, willing to embrace all of that stuff on that day. I've watched the interviews, I've read the memoirs, I've heard so many stories of heroes that survived that day. I love reading the stuff that Major Winters and the Easy Company guys wrote about that day. It's unbelievable. And listen, as you read that, you think, man, these are the bravest men to ever live. And in some ways, I really do think that is true, but every single one of them, when you read what they wrote, they will all tell you they were afraid. They will all tell you there was fear there. They will all tell you they were unsure of what was going to happen to them, but they pushed it out of the way and did what they knew to be right. They did what they knew the world needed them to do. That's being strong. That's being courageous. It's not the element of fear. It's the willingness to do what you know is right, even in the midst of fear. And that is a constant thread throughout the Word of God. Think back to the Old Testament. What does God say over and over to the people of Israel? Be strong and be courageous. I'm with you no matter where you go. Be strong. Paul, the one writing the letter, he had to live this out. He was writing to the church in Corinth from the city of Ephesus. Right, he was sharing the gospel in Ephesus while he was writing this letter. And he told them in his letter, he's like, listen, there's so much going on here. There's so much spiritual danger here. There's so much physical danger here. He wrote that he had to fight off wild beasts in the city of Ephesus to do what God had called him to do. Be strong. You probably know this, but following Jesus, it's not for cowards. Following Jesus isn't for people who want that easy road. There are a lot of people that faced serious challenges in the first century, people that are getting this letter, because of their faith in Jesus. They were left out. They were cut out. Business situations, social situations, people talked about them. People attacked them. They attacked their families. Many of them were placed in prison. They were mocked. All of these things happened, and it's still happening in the world today. Do you know that in the last 100 years, think about that, it's 2022 now, so go back 100 years, 1922 to 2022. More people lost their lives, more people were martyred for being Christians in the last 100 years than the previous 1900 years. Be strong. Be courageous. Listen, this is a command that was written to us because God knew we were going to need to hear it. We don't face that physically where we live, but more and more and more, culturally, socially, absolutely, we're going to be placed in situations where we're going to have to be strong, standing firm in the gospel. You're going to face moments in your life where being strong in your faith, it might intimidate you, where being strong in your faith might even scare you, even in those moments. I'd say especially in those moments, God's word says you can be strong. And I want you to hear this. It's not because you are strong. It's because your God is strong. It's because your Savior is strong. It's because the one that has saved you, redeemed you, and made you his child is strong. And he's the one that's promised to never leave you, to never forsake you, to never, ever, ever let you be alone. So be strong because God's promised he'll be with you. Verse 13, look at it in your Bible. Pay attention, stand firm, be strong. Three very forceful commands. Three commands that call us to aim high in our walk with God, to live high in our walk with God. The three commands that go well with our prayer over our kids for boldness, right? Three commands that if we get it right, it'll dramatically change our families. It'll dramatically change our homes, our church, our community. Think about this. Pay attention, right? The call to always be aware of spiritual things of temptation that's happening around us. Stand firm, right? The call to not give up an inch to the culture that attacks the truth of the words of God, resisting everything and everyone that would call us to go against the truth of God's word. And then finally, be strong, having the courage to do what's right, even when we're scared. Listen, there's a reason that God calls the church, God calls Christians to live this way. It would change everything, but only if it's done right. Look at verse 14. We just had those three commands. Pay attention, stand firm, be strong. Verse 14 says, and now let all that you do be done in love. That's the final command in this section. Do all of those things in love. As you pay attention to the spiritual elements of this world, to the temptation that's going on around you, pay attention with a loving heart. As you stand firm in your faith with this holy, stubborn determination, make sure that your love of God is flowing through in everything that you say and do with the people around you. And then finally, as you stand strong, as you have the courage to do what's right in the face of temptation, let the love of God be the source of that strength. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I'm just a bunch of noise. It says, if I have prophetic powers and I can understand all the mysteries and I have all the faith and all of the knowledge, but I have not love, I am nothing. It says, if I give away all that I have and I deliver up my body as a sacrifice, but if I have not love, I gain nothing. In other words, this passage is telling us, pay attention, stand firm, stay strong. But if you don't do it with the love of God flowing from your heart, then none of it matters in the first place. Listen, our attitudes, our words, our actions, our social media posts, our treatment of other people's, the motives and the priorities of our hearts and our lives, all of it has to flow from the love of God. And that is only possible when you and I are in a relationship with God. That is only possible when we have been made children of God by the work that Jesus did for us on the cross. This week, 42 young people stepped into that life-changing, eternity-giving relationship with Christ this morning. If you're here today with us and you're not a Christian, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ, it has to start right there for you. Without Jesus, none of the things that we've talked about this morning are possible. Listen, my prayer is that these verses sink in today, that they're short verses. There's a lot packed in to these two verses. I'm praying that we pay attention so that we don't let false teachings or an ungodly culture affect our hearts and our view of God. I'm praying that we would have a stubborn, holy determination that causes us to stand firm every day in the faith, not willing to compromise, not willing to give an inch in our homes, in our lives, or over our kids. And I pray that every single one of us would stay courageous, not so that we can be culture warriors, not so that we can be keyboard warriors, but so that we can be bold Christians willing to take a stand for the gospel. Pay attention, stand firm, stay strong, all because of the incredible love that Jesus has for each and every one of us. Would you pray with me? So I want to encourage you with your head bowed this morning, just take a second, think about the Word of God in your life. Think about this incredible life that God has called you, invited you into. Think about the amazing opportunity that you have to be in a relationship with the one that created you, or with our Heavenly Father. And this morning, if you would say, you know what, I can't do any of those things that we talked about because I do not yet know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, let me just invite you this morning, before you leave here, do what so many others have done this week. Do what several did last Sunday and the Sunday before that. Make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Place your faith and trust in Him and in Him alone to forgive you of your sins that separate you from a holy and loving God. Trust in Jesus for salvation. If you have not done that, today is your day. I want to invite you in just a minute, when we close and walk out of here, to step in our connection room and pray with someone that loves God and that loves you. Let them walk you through God's Word and show you what it means to step into a relationship with Him. It'll change everything in your heart and in your life. And if you've trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, may my hope and prayer for you this morning is that you would see that God has called you to Himself, that God has called you to live a holy life, pleasing to Him, that God cares about your mind. God cares about your heart. God cares about your life and the way that you would live. This morning, if you've trusted Christ, I just want you to think about what it looks like for you to pay attention. Are you paying attention? Are you aware of the spiritual elements of your life day in and day out? Are you aware of the areas where you're tempted? Are you aware of the influences, whether it be people or media or anything else? Are you aware of the people that are fighting for your hearts and minds, that are fighting for the hearts and minds of your kids? So pay attention. Make sure that we're shaped in our hearts and our minds and our souls by nothing but the truth of the Word of God. Pay attention. As you think about what it means for you to stand firm, and as you're thinking about it, let me just ask this question. Is there anywhere in your life where you are making compromises on the Word of God? Is there anywhere in your life where you think, well, this is okay. I know it's wrong, but this is okay for us. This is okay for my family. This is okay for my kids. I can handle this. Listen, that's not what God has called us to. God has called us to stand firm. God has called us to live. Just pray right now, God, help me to live with a holy, stubborn determination. Let my heart be yours and yours alone. And pray. Pray this last part of this verse too. Pray, God, give me the strength and the courage to do that. Because I'm telling you right now, people are going to look at you a little bit funny. If you're really committed to standing firm in your faith, people are going to look at you funny. They might talk about you. They might say things to you, but it does not matter. God has called us to live a life that is holy and pleasing to Him. Stand firm and stay strong and do it with the love of God flowing from your heart into the world around you. God, we are so grateful. God, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the incredible love that you have for us. God, we're grateful that you've invited us and called us to live in this way. Father, and I pray for each and every person in this room. God, I pray for our kiddos that are across the hall. I pray for our students that are going away at camp right now. God, Lord, I just pray, God, with everything that I've got, that you would enable us to live this way, that we'd pay attention, stand firm, and stay strong with a heart that is full of the love of Christ. God, you're so good to us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.